Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Bienvenidos. Welcome back, Coach Neuro Chat amigos and Coach Neuro Chat amigas. It's time for a special, I guess we can call this a live edition of Coach Neuro Chat. I'm Jeremy. I'm joined by my dear friend Danny Segura, MMA journalist and Atleti superfan. We are having coffee at this neat little spot called Colados near downtown Phoenix. Danny is in town to cover, he covered a fight over the weekend, right?
Yes, Jake Paul versus Anderson Silva. It was a boxing match. And it went down on Saturday. I'm staying here a few extra days to get to know Phoenix and chat up with you and meet you in person for the first time. We've been Twitter friends for a while, so this is awesome.
Danny, you are a Colt Chinero Chat guest several times over. We've been doing this together for a few years, and it's been great to meet you in person, and I hope you're enjoying Phoenix. It can be, especially when it's not just burning hot outside, it can be a pretty neat place.
Yeah. Oh, I love Phoenix. I got very good things so far from Phoenix. Mexican food, a bomb.
Yeah, we crushed some Mexican food earlier.
Scenery,
oh my God.
Very, very nice, very beautiful. I have a few friends out here, so so it's cool. Yeah, Phoenix is really cool. This is a city I could see myself living in. It's passed the cool test on my end.
That is delightful to hear. Because certainly in the summer, it's not everyone's cup of tea.
I've heard, I've heard you literally get fried.
Oh, man.
Oh, I can imagine,
But, when it's end of October into November, it gets to be pretty nice out. I think December, January, those are the nicest months to be here. But, we crushed some Mexican food earlier. We're getting caffeinated or recaffeinated. And now we're going to talk about some Atletico de Madrid. I have just come back from Madrid. I spent a good 8 days there. Caught the Leverkusen game, Atletico's Champions League elimination, live from Press Row at the Metropolitano. Those of you in the WhatsApp group, $10 Amigos, on patreon.com/ColchNeuroChat, you all had an up-close and personal look at my adventures in and around the Metropolitano and around Madrid. Wonderful city. Can't say enough good things about my time there. Unfortunately, things are not going as well for Atleti, Danny. We had the Champions League elimination last Wednesday and then followed up with the loss to Cádiz on Saturday. First time Atletico have lost to Cádiz since 1989. I hadn't been born yet.
We're setting records, baby.
Oh,
we're setting
Lord.
Records.
Not the records I want to set.
Yeah.
So, Danny, your thoughts on Atleti's recent form and where I had you on at the start of the season. We kind of previewed what we thought would happen with this, no one call it a new look roster, same look roster. What are your thoughts now on what we've been living these last couple of weeks?
Look, my coffee cup right now says radiate positivity, so I'm going to try to look at things on the bright side, but...
Oh, that was a good transition.
But
that's good.
You can't... You just got to look at the team and you got to see the negative as well.
Yeah.
I think this we saw coming. I think this was going to... We're going to reach this boiling point. That's how it feels. It feels like, we've reached the point that kind of lets us know once again that whatever we have now, it's not working and it's not going to work. It didn't work last season. I know there were some injuries. There were a little bit of things here and there, asterisk, that maybe you can go, okay, if these things are no longer present, maybe, maybe, just maybe, we can get different results. But here we are almost halfway through the season and not looking good. Not looking good. Out of Champions League, La Liga title is, it's looking rough as well. But at least, and radiating with positivity, as my coffee cup says, at least we now know, right? Like, something's got to change. And I feel like it's pretty clear to Simeone and the powers that be that they got to blow this team up, that something's got to change. They cannot continue this way. And all these bad things, getting out of the Champions League, they're going to push us towards some changes. So we'll see if those changes will lead towards more misery or... Maybe we'll get we'll turn this team around and have more positive results.
Well, let me ask you a couple of follow-up questions in that vein. What would you say, first off, is the biggest problem Simeone's Atletico are facing right now? And then competing in the Europa League, which is a possibility. If we beat Porto tomorrow, Tuesday, we'll finish third in the group. Would you rather compete in Europa League or not compete at all in Europe this year?
Compete in Europa League, yeah. I mean, anytime that you get a chance to fight for a trophy, you should take it, right? Plus, it's going to be some money. It's not going to be Champions League money, but it's going to be some money. And some of the guys could, you know, use some reps as well. So that's something interesting as well. Plus, Europa League is going to look pretty sick. It could potentially look pretty sick this time around, right? We got some big players dropping in. It's almost as what was the other league that they try to make?
The Conference League, right?
The League of Nations.
The Nations League for UEFA, right?
Yeah. It's almost that. Like, we're getting, doesn't matter how good you are, but we're still getting the big names together.
Yeah, I mean, Barca are going to be there. Arsenal are there, currently topping the Premier League. Juventus are going to be there. These are big, historic clubs potentially joining Atletico. So does that make the road easier, tougher, more attractive, less attractive?
Definitely more attractive. But I think it's still going to be tough. It's going to be a tough Europa League. Obviously, that's if we beat Porto. And yeah, some of the guys could use some reps. Simeone could use more chances to kind of look at what can be done, what kind of changes can be done in the squad, especially if we get some movement this winter in the transfer window. If we do, then, you know, maybe we can see some, I don't know, new formations, new styles of play. I think some of the guys like Saúl, who's coming back, maybe he needs a few more games to kind of see if we can maybe get something out of him. So yeah, for sure, Europa League, I'll take it all day.
What would you say the biggest problems that Simeone needs to solve? What are they? What has been plaguing us in these last couple of games particularly? And what's the solution? Is it going back to what we've known for so many years, the 4-4-2, 2-3-4 central midfielders at one time? Now, what are the solutions here in your mind?
Yeah, I think you nailed it on the head. I think that's it. I think it's going back to the roots. Simeone try to experiment with a roster that's more attacking-minded, more skilled in the attacking area. And it clearly didn't work out. It was a bit of a shit show, to be honest. And there's been a few games now that we've reverted to the 4-4-2, with Witzel sometimes even going back and they're becoming a five-man defensive line. I've seen glimpses of something that could be built upon there. I think obviously there's still some missing pieces to really make it work. I think they need to bring some top center backs. Josema hasn't been nearly as good as he was years prior, plus the injuries. Savic has, you know, kept his quality. But then you have Molina. I don't know how you feel about Molina, but I'm not too sold on him yet. I know he's young, so I don't want to kind of put him on the chopping block just yet. But I think you need a little bit more experienced players. You need a bit more competition in the back. Hermoso and Felipe are clearly not cut out for this. Savic is good, like I said. Jimenez is good, but with the injuries as well, you need to bring a top quality center back, in my opinion.
Yeah. When I was at the Metropolitano last week in the post-game press conference, Simeone was asked about Hermoso, the decision to start him against Leverkusen. It backfired horribly. He was partially, at least, at fault for the opening goal and substituted at halftime as Atletico moved back to the 3-5-2. And Simeone said, the calendar is crazy. We're playing games every 4 days. Savic was a yellow away from suspension. Hermoso's ability on the ball, the salida, is what we were looking for. We understood that was the best way forward for this game to give us another avenue to attack through. But Hermoso just is one of those players who's not at this level, right? Molina, yep. Not yet.
I think Molina is a very talented player. He clearly has a lot of ability, but he can't fire an accurate cross.
Yeah.
That's an issue for a
right
back.
He's, what, 24?
24.
Yeah.
And you know, going from Udinese to Atletico, the team in the Champions League 10 years running, that's a big step up. You know, Rodrigo De Paul made the same move a year prior, and it hasn't been, you know, wine and roses, bread and roses for De Paul either.
Yeah.
It's not been far from smooth sailing for him. I think he's one of the candidates to leave in January, given our Champions League exit. But, you know, we have several guys who may be good enough in La Liga with all the parity that has taken place in La Liga in recent years. We have enough players who can more or less guarantee us top four.
Yeah.
But in the Champions League, even in a group that looked like this, failing to get out of this group is a huge embarrassment. But it doesn't speak very well of the recruitment. It doesn't speak very well of the coaching either, that this team struggled to get out of this group with four straight, you know, games that didn't end in a win.
Mm-hmm.
That loss in Belgium was just a gut punch. That was when I knew that this was going to be a real, real battle.
This squad has issues, but even if you look at the roster, there's enough to, like, we're underperforming. There's enough to do better than what we're doing now. So, yeah, there definitely needs to be some look at the coaching, some look at the tactics. And look, we know that Simeone is a defensive mastermind. This was one of my biggest issues. They were trying to put him into a role of a Pep Guardiola or a Jurgen Klopp, where there's more, you know, more attacking football, where Simeone just simply doesn't have that in him.
It goes against our identity.
It really does. It really does. And we just don't have the mastermind to pull off that type of game plan. So
yeah.
I think reverting to a more defensive, I love Kondovia and Witzel. I love that back is very, very solid. If we get a solid center back, maybe get a good right back to give Molina some competition as well, maybe that could solve some issues. And then attacking wise, I just think some players need to go, and then maybe bring in some new players as far as like project players. But there needs to be, for example, some consistency as well as the top. I don't know what's the future of Joao Felix, but I kind of want him to leave at this point. Like,
yeah.
I feel like there's been year after year we kind of gotten an answer to whether he was going to be a fit or not, and I think we already found out that he's not. Obviously, he's still going to be a great player, that you'll get some good games out of him, as we saw against Cádiz, where he scored two goals.
Yeah.
But overall, he doesn't fit the bill. I'm happy that Griezmann is back, and I was hurt after Griezmann left to Barcelona. I was hurt bad, and I didn't want him back. Mm-hmm. But I've forgiven him. He clearly wants to be back. He clearly wants to do whatever is possible to be back in the good graces of fans. And he's been a game changer ever since we've been able to play him more than just past the 60-minute mark. We've seen this team is way better off with Griezmann than without it. So I do think there are some good things going for it. We'll see how the transfer window turns up.
And Griezmann's got goal contributions, I think, in five or six straight games now. Another assist at the weekend against Cádiz for Joao Felix's equalizer. That was then, you know, Cádiz then won the game in the 99th minute with literally the last action of the game. And for the Sobrino goal that decided the game, I think you saw the defensive weaknesses that Atletico still have. Molina still not consistent enough at this level. Savic had a bad game. And in the Champions League last week, we saw Reinildo in a more advanced attacking position, but he's just not a good enough attacking outlet at that level, at the top level. And Atletico, in recent years, we've seen a bit of a hemorrhaging. We've seen a bit of a bleeding as the recruitment hasn't been consistently strong. Simeone's, for a couple of years now, has been trying multiple different, you know, ways, mix and match. We've had a different starting 11 and every game this year, I think. Maybe all but one game we've had a different starting 11. And that's tough when you don't have that consistency, when you have players out due to injury, like Koke, Lema, Llorente have been out for weeks now. We've won one out of four games without Koke. Now, every year Koke goes out for like 3 weeks, and every year that's the period of the season where we really, really struggle. So let me ask you this about Simeone. Should he renew his contract past 2024? Do you still believe in him enough to give him a couple more years at the helm? What do you think?
I believe in him so long the club wants to kind of give him the keys of the ride and have him call the shots. And sure, the club also needs to kind of point the direction. And obviously, Simeone can't just be a totalitarian dictator running the entire team and every single decision. But he needs freedom to be him. You can't turn him into something that he's not. That's just simply not going to happen. So if this same dynamic is going to be in play, where the club simply wants a certain style of play and just wants Simeone to mirror that, I'd rather him leave because it's going to be a disaster. It's just not going to work out. We've seen it. So I want him to stay just so long as the club allows him to do Simeone, to play Simeone, and yeah, play his style.
What I started thinking over the weekend, Danny, is that if Simeone is just going to play out the string with this core, this aging, relatively unathletic, handsomely paid core, then he needs to leave because it's not going to get any better unless and until Atletico commit to a new project. I mean, so many of these guys, it's weird because so many of these guys were on the title-winning team just 2 years ago. It's not like that was a decade ago.
Yeah.
That was only a couple of years ago, so it puts the club in a strange position as to, okay, right, these guys won us a league. You know, we had a historic start to the season, 50 points from 19 games. Everything was going great. But we're now, the second half of that season was not fun. And Atletico held on to win the league anyway. Last season was largely not fun at all. And then this season, we're already facing those same inconsistencies, the same problems, a bit more defensive solidity.
Yep.
With Witzel, Witzel's addition, I think, has been pretty big. Oblak has returned more or less to form. But still, they shipped three goals against 19th place Cádiz on Saturday. Yep. That was really bad. And Simeone, again, going away from the 4-4-2 back to the 3-5-2, which just isn't working with this personnel anymore. And it's increasingly clear that was a one-year thing, a one-year bandage. It worked wonders. He won the league. But it's just not working anymore. And what I was thinking is that, I agree, you got to turn over the keys to him. You got to promise him a new project built around young players. But that's it. Like, can you imagine Atletico being like a supersized Monaco or a supersized Dortmund, attracting all? And Madrid is a desirable city. You know, 3.3 million people live there. It's the second largest city in the EU. So you can get cheap, young, talented prospects, either call them up from the academy, convince them to join the academy, or spend 5 million euro here, 10 million euro there, bring these young 19, 20, 21 year olds to Madrid, develop them. Maybe they form part of the next core. Maybe you move them on for big fees. You know, that's continuing to do this with this group, running it back from last year with 85% of the same team. This ain't working. It's not going to work. It will get worse from here, I feel, unless the club decides to make a drastic shift. That's really the only scenario, Danny, under which I want Simeone to continue, is that you give him a new project.
100% agree. I think there needs to be a clear change. If you're just going to continue doing the same thing, we're going to be in the same situation. We're going to be with a squad that is going to be a year older, more disgruntled, a lot more pressure on them, a lot more fan backlash on them as well. Like, you got to start fresh. You got to start fresh in this one. Let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What does starting fresh mean? Because obviously you're not going to get rid of every single one. Who are the key players in the current squad that you would keep to build the team around?
If Simeone is going to stay, Koke, first, second, and third, because Koke is still an extremely valuable player, even if many fans don't see it, many analysts don't see it. When Koke is out of the team, we play worse. That is like an axiom every year. Koke is this team's leader and still an incredibly valuable player. So Koke's got to stay. Griezmann probably, and I was like you. I didn't want him to come back.
Yeah.
I was a bit disappointed when he came back, and his performances last year left us all wanting. You know, just 5 months ago, I was calling for him to go back to Barca, but, you know, give him a lot of credit, right? I'm not sure if I've done this on the show yet, but we got to give him a lot of credit for taking not one but two pay cuts, for accepting that role on the bench earlier this season.
Yep.
And his performances finally are matching that effort and that sacrifice he made to come back. So, and Griezmann's also on a contract to 2026, and he doesn't want to leave. So that would be tough to move anyway, but he's, again, a key player for us. So Koke, Griezmann, you can't keep both Jimenez and Savage because both of them together, that's just, they're great when they're both healthy.
Yeah.
But
unreliable. Yeah, unreliable pairing.
I don't know, because Jimenez is younger, but even more injury-prone than Savage, who's entering his mid-30s. I would probably stick with Savage over Jose Ma.
100%.
Probably those three.
Savage at this point, and oddly enough, I would say that he has more Atletico DNA than Jose Ma. I feel like Jose Ma's kind of fire and passion has kind of dwindled down over the years. I mean, he can still, you know, get pretty rowdy, but I feel like Savage has definitely stepped up on that department. He's definitely the enforcer of the team.
Those two guys have the attitude that we need in Joey Small. And I trust Savage more than I do with Jose Ma.
Yeah, Savage is way more reliable. His clearances are beautiful.
His ball distribution's improved as well in recent years.
Physically, such a big presence in that team. Jose Ma is not much of a presence.
And I remember 4, 5, 6 years ago thinking, why is Stefan Savage here? Mm. He's clearly our worst center back, but now he's probably our best. And that's been true for multiple seasons now. So probably those three. Correa, love Angel Correa. He's the guy who will do anything Simeone asks of him. Yep. His goal-scoring record, particularly in the Champions League, is not good. We know that. But Correa is someone you can plug in at supporting forward, and he can do a job. In midfield, he can do a job. Correa's a loyal soldier, and I think you need that in this group. If you're building a brand-new Atletico, you need that kind of leadership. Correa someday will be a captain.
How old is Correa?
27?
Yeah, he's still young, man.
Yeah, and he's
so
played
young.
So many games already. Yeah. Like, he extended his contract last season. I think there's a pretty good chance he too will get to 500 games for Atletico if he stays for the duration of that contract, which would be so cool.
Yeah.
Because Correa, he's grown up kind of right along with a lot of Atletico fans. He's grown up right along with a lot of our newer supporters, a lot of the players in this team, because he joined us 8 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a veteran of the team now, and he's still so young.
Oddly enough,
crazy.
Yeah. I would have those four: Koke, Griezmann, Savage, Correa, Reinildo probably. I'm not a fan of Reinildo's attacking output, but defensively he is so solid. I wonder if they can't convert him into a full time center back.
How big is he? How tall is he? Oof. He's not that big, right?
He's strong though.
Yeah, he is strong. The only concern that I would have on Reinildo is that sometimes he's a bit of a hothead and he loses his mind.
Yeah.
And that to me is a little bit concerning, because I think if they can reel him back a little bit and they can kind of make him a little bit more cool-headed, yes. But you can't have like a center back, you know, doing the kind of things that Reinildo usually does on the wing. Don't get me wrong, I like seeing it. It's entertaining sometimes. But sometimes it's irresponsible as well. So
yeah,
but Reynildo's good. Yeah,
yeah, he's 6 foot, so maybe a little bit on the shorter side. But you know, short kings gotta prosper.
Hey, that's true.
Nothing wrong with a short king. Absolutely not. We don't discriminate. Probably those five, and that's really about it. Like, I think this is the time to move on from Oblak.
Really,
I think so. Yeah,
yeah.
That's a position. Goalkeeping is a volatile position. But, you know, Oblak's going to be 30 next year. He's coming off a bad season. He's been better this year.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say he's all the way back, but he's more or less back. And he's, especially in the Girona game a few weeks ago, he saved our asses. That was heading toward a 2-2 draw, and he made some outstanding saves to preserve the win for Atleti. So Oblak and he extended his contract to 2028 over the summer, but I think that was more of a mechanism to, you know, defer payments because Atletico are struggling financially, you may have heard. So,
yep.
Which is a tale seemingly as old as time. But yeah, if Oblak is running out of time personally to have a Premier League experience, he's talked a lot in interviews about wanting to play in England. Oblak is one of those guys I would probably move on from.
Yeah.
You know, that core five plus Simeone, and you just fill in the gaps. Let me ask you,
Cunha?
Oh, Cunha.
He's
love
young.
The idea of Cunha.
He's like, young.
You can't have a nine who doesn't score goals.
That's true.
Yeah. And
he
hasn't scored a goal yet. Two assists. That's it. His decision-making is really poor. His touch is getting, which for a Brazilian player, to have your first touch disappear, that has to kickstart a huge grieving process, because the one thing you expect a Brazilian attacker to do is have a silky smooth first touch.
Yeah.
And his touch is just so wooden and leaden now. And you can't have a nine who doesn't score goals. His decision making is not, he doesn't look like a lethal penalty area killer.
Yeah, that's
like,
true.
I'm not comparing him to Luis Suarez. I'm not saying he has to be Suarez immediately or Diego Costa in his peak immediately, but
you need somebody with more killer instincts.
Yeah, I would like to give Cunha one more year, but at the same time, some of his decision making, Can I say 5.5 players I want to keep? Let's round it up. Let's say 6. Let's say I keep Cunha.
Yeah.
Okay. Because he is young, plenty of projection. Let me ask you about Joao Felix, though. What do you do with Joao Felix? You know, this was going to be his breakout year. He was going to become a Ballon d'Or contender after the second half of the year he had last year. But he has been benched 9 straight games. He finally scored his first 2 goals of the season against Cádiz, nearly dragged Atletico back into a position where they could get a draw, nearly won the game in the 96th minute with a near post header that went wide, and he kicked the ball out of the stands and got a yellow card for it. What do you do with Joao Felix, Danny?
You gotta sell.
Is it time?
Yeah, it's time. I think it's either he stays or Simeone stays, and I would want Simeone to stay. So Joao's got to go. Clearly, those two are not going to work together. They've had, 4 years now?
4 years, 3.5
years.
4 years,
3.5 years to work together, and it seems their relationship is just getting worse. And we know what Simeone can do to certain players that he doesn't get along with. So for not only Atletico Madrid's sake, but Joao Felix's career, because I really do think he's a good player, a very, very good player, with a lot of prospect. He's got to go, man. If he wants to achieve whatever he wants to achieve, the heights that he wants to achieve, he's got to go somewhere else. It's not going to be at Atletico Madrid. Again, clearly a talented player. I don't want to say we got sold fool's gold here, but he's not your Mbappe. He's not your Haaland. He's clearly a level or two below that, which is still pretty damn good.
Yeah.
But he's just not that wonder kid that we thought, you know, was going to carry Atletico Madrid and be the biggest star for Atletico Madrid for years to come and was going to be, you know, the one of the biggest stars or a star in this sport. Yeah, it's time for him to go. It's time for him to go.
But you know what? I would make that transfer all over again. And you and I talked about this earlier today, you know, off mic, but I would do it all over again because that's the gamble that you got to take if you want to stay toward the top of the game. This time it didn't work out.
The promise was a lot.
Hey, it was
19-year-old.
19 years old, just coming off a 15-goal season at Benfica. He was going to be next.
Yep.
You know, but it hasn't worked out. But, you know, in the winter transfer window, it might be tough to get the seismic offer that Atletico would certainly expect to be able to approve a sale. You know, a loan with an option or an obligation to buy won't cut it. You know, you have to recoup a significant portion of that investment to make it worthwhile. So I don't know, but his future is up in the air. Rodrigo De Paul's future is up in the air. There have been reports linking him with a move back to Italy. Although it would be kind of lateral to move from Atletico to Juventus, right? Because you're going to a Europa League team either way.
Yeah. But I think he might be a better fit for Italian football anyways.
Yeah, he was so good at Udinese, and we just haven't
seen
him here.
Very, very good.
You know, De Paul, I think, there could, Yannick Carrasco could also be back on the market. His contract's up in 2024, and I feel that if Atletico really wanted to extend Carrasco's contract, it would have been done by now.
Yeah.
They did it with Oblak, they did it with Lema over the summer, they did it with Correa last year. Griezmann got, you know, the permanent deal and the contract to 2026. If they wanted to renew Carrasco, it already would have been done.
Yeah, and it's a shame because me personally, I really like Carrasco. I feel like he brings an individualistic aspect into the game that, and sometimes you needed those players. For example, in the Colombian side of things, I'm Colombian, in the national team, that guy squatted out. The guy that will sometimes not pass it and you want to curse him out, but then he'll do a dribble and then do a nice opening and then...
You love him all over again, right?
Yeah, and then kind of just get things going. You needed those players. Koke sometimes is the complete opposite, right? Like, he'll just stick to what's safe and kind of play a more pragmatic style. Whereas Carrasco, yeah, sure, sometimes he might not be as good of a team player, but I do feel like you do need a little bit of that wild card, and it pays off. We see it in games how sometimes he opens things up quite nicely for the team. So, plus, he's got a lot of history in the team. He's been around the squad for a while.
The Champions League final goal, who could forget it?
Yeah.
You know, that's always a part of our history, even though we lost that game. Not that we need to rehash that.
Yeah.
But even though we lost that game, Carrasco got our equalizer. That goes down in history, you know, along with Godin's goal in 2014.
That's right, yeah. So I would like to see him stay on the squad, but I would totally get it, too, if they would like to sell him. Because they could probably get good money out of him. I feel like a lot of people would want Carrasco.
His release clause is $60 million. I don't think they could get that now. But for 30 or 40, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you could get a pretty good deal there. The irony, though, about Renan Lodi, if he had decided not to move to Forest, he would have gotten a bunch of time this year because the left side of our team has been a black hole for a good chunk of the season so far, with Reynildo more convincing as a center, as a left-sided center back in a 3-5-2. Saul's attacking output just practically non-existent, though he has been quite good defensively. Carrasco has been out of form. Reguilon hasn't even played yet. Lodi would have gotten a lot of minutes if he just stayed patient, but no, he went to Nottingham Forest, and it's not going too great for him there. He's probably another player I would hang on to if we're going to rebuild Atletico's core. Let's give Lodi the starting left-back job. Let's just ride with him because he's clearly talented enough to show up on the big stage. At Old Trafford last year, goal got us through to the quarterfinals. Lodi is definitely good enough to play at a high-level team. It was so strange how the Forest loan move happened, and you know it hasn't worked out for him. He should have stayed.
Yeah, and if they do keep him, I do very much like that pairing between Reynildo and Lodi because they're opposite players. I mean, whenever you need a guy to get gritty and be solid defensively, you put in Reynildo. Whenever you need quite the opposite, you need a little bit more of a dynamic in your squad, a more attacking, more passing, then you got Lodi. So I do think they complement each other quite well, and they'll give Simeone a lot to work with between the two.
Let me ask you this. Last week, Lucas Hernandez gave an interview.
I miss him.
And yeah,
I miss
you already answered the question. he gave an interview, and he was asked about his future at Bayern and potentially returning to Atletico. And he said, "I'd love to go back to Atletico. I'd love to. It's the club that's given me everything. Someday, I'd love to play there again." You take him back.
When's his contract up?
2024.
Yes.
Bring him back.
Bring him back. Because, dude, he can play left back and he can play center back.
Yeah.
He can do both roles. And, he's a World Cup winner. He's got a ton of experience. He's still pretty young, right?
26.
26. I mean, that's nothing.
The injuries are an issue, though.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
He hasn't played in about a month and a half due to injury.
Mm.
But when he's healthy,
he's a stud.
I was sad when we let him go. But, Bayern paid the clause. They, tripled his salary.
Yeah.
I would have gone, too.
Kidding? Yeah, no, for sure.
I hear you on that. Even though he was born and bred Academy product, and we haven't developed a defender like him since.
Yeah.
We got an entirely new back four that helped us win the league with his release clause. So, it's some good, some bad. But, man, I love Lucas back.
Yeah.
I highly doubt it happens, next year, though. Because Bayern are still a super competitive team and he's still in the prime of his career. After his next Bayern contract ends, he comes back. He'll probably be 29 or 30. You'd still take him back, though, right?
Yeah, I'd still take him. Obviously, depending on the injury, 4 years of soccer is 4 years of soccer.
Yeah,
4 years of
football. There's going to be another World Cup after that in 2026.
So we'll see how he looks then. But considering, or keeping in mind that, nothing catastrophic happens to his career, I'd take him back for sure. Because, again, that's a guy that can play you center back. That's a guy that can play you left back as well.
He came from the academy.
He's a soldier. That guy's a good guy to have in your squad for sure.
And I don't think he left the incorrect way. Thomas Partey left out the back door on deadline day, Rodri left in an inappropriate way.
That's another guy to take back in a heartbeat.
Oh, of course, because we've never really even tried to replace Rodri. Thomas tried to fill that role, then we sold Thomas, right?
Yeah.
And then we brought in Kondogbia, and Kondogbia's been nice and useful, but he's relatively limited. So, I'd love to have Rodri back, but, Lucas, of the three guys that from that last academy generation, Rodri obviously left for Villarreal, then came back, then left again. Lucas is the guy that we haven't developed another one of them. We haven't developed a defender quite like him. The injury record is a concern, but I'm in agreement. I'd love to have him back. Hopefully it happens next summer. That'd be nice if the contract negotiations with Bayern were absolutely just hit a dead end and he decides, I want to go back to Madrid right now. Mm-hmm. I will cut my salary in half. I will go back right now. I think that is highly unlikely to happen, but we can dream, right?
Yeah.
That's what life is built on, man.
Dreaming is free.
Radiating positivity.
Exactly, yeah. So you said you get rid of Oblak, and I agree. I think if there's a time to sell him is now, because he's still young enough where you'd get a lot of money out of him. And he hasn't had enough bad seasons where a lot of teams are going to lowball you. Like, Oblak is still a hot commodity. I mean, he's one of the best keepers in the world, period, yeah. Right? Which is a good time to cash out. And I do feel like we probably already got the best years of him. I don't know. We'll see. Who would you bring as a replacement? Who do you like out there?
Last year, I wanted Luis Maximiano from Granada. Mm-hmm. I think Napoli scooped him up, didn't they? Yeah, he didn't stay in La Liga because Granada got sent down on the final day.
I've heard there are the hair rumors.
No. Older than Oblak, bigger wages, even a steeper decline. No way. And the fans would never accept De Gea.
Yeah.
After his flirtations with Madrid, no, I wouldn't want that mess. You know, Gerbich in house, as far as an in-house replacement, Gerbich would be fine. But there are other keepers out there, young keepers with a lot of potential. I wish I had a list off the top of my head, but I don't. Yeah. Hashtag bad podcasting. But, you know, Gerbich, just speaking strictly as an in-house replacement, I think Gerbich would be fine, at least for a year. If you're going to rebuild the team anyway, do it while you still have a top four spot on lock. Because even though Atletico have not been particularly good this year, they've been very good away from home, at least grinding out results away from home. 7 wins, 2 draws, 3 defeats in La Liga. They're on about a 75-point pace. That will be enough to get top four yet again. So you have a relatively limited window in which you can execute this rebuild. And at least in North American sports, and a rebuild is when you give opportunities to guys in-house who may not have gotten a bigger slice of the pie before. Gerbich has come on in less than advantageous circumstances this year. He made a couple outstanding saves when he came on in Oblak's stead during the Athletic win at San Mamés a couple of weeks ago. You know, and Gerbich is 25.
Yeah.
You know, and he's quality. I've seen him a few times this year. He's quality. So if you decide not to go to the market, spend a lot of money on a replacement goalkeeper, you know, if you do want a more experienced one, I would have said Kepa before this season, but he's done really well at Chelsea under Graham Potter. Kepa would have been interesting. Atletico were tenuously linked with him before, but Oblak ended up staying, renewing his contract, and then renewing it again. But, you know, you have Gerbich in-house if nothing else comes off, but inherent to this long-term project that we're kind of hypothesizing over right now, you give chances to guys who are habitual backups. You bring in guys from the academy. Pablo Barrios in midfield will be a great example of this. He came on against Cádiz and was excellent. 30 touches, 88% passing accuracy, and was just what we needed in midfield to help progress the ball to the forward line. And it was not a coincidence that Simeone throws him on for Kondogbia. We end up getting two equalizing goals, losing at the end. But Barrios' ball progression from midfield, he offered us an outlet that we don't have with Lema and Koke out. So, you know, the guys from Alejandro Iturbe, our academy goalkeeper for the B team, has been highly rated for years. He's another in-house option. So, you know, just practically spitballing, but that's a long answer to that question.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. We'll see what happens, but I agree. I think there needs to be some big changes. Big changes to the squad.
You know, if there can be no better indication that this is an ailing, declining squad in need than relegation to the Europa League.
Yep.
Even more dramatic would be falling out of La Liga's top four. You know, and I don't think that will happen. Madrid and Barcelona will finish 1-2 in some order, and Atletico will probably finish third. They'll have enough to finish third. They already have head-to-head over Betis. They already have head-to-head over Athletic. Villarreal, you know, lost Unai Emery. We'll see how well they do under Quique Setién and if their key players stay fit. So Atletico are in a reasonably solid position to finish top three again and get right back into Champions League football next year. The club can easily spin that as, oh, it's a one-year blip, full confidence in Simeone, we won't make changes. But that would be the exact wrong thing to do. You know, this is a squad that is in need. It has been in need for some time. And when they invested last summer, they managed to invest in the wrong players because DePaul hasn't been very good. Cunha had his moments last year but hasn't got a goal this year. Reynildo was a brilliant signing, but even Reynildo is limited when you play him in a system that requires him to attack. You know, Felipe Luis, he ain't.
Nope.
Speaking of Felipe, he just won the Copa Libertadores with Flamengo.
Yeah.
Him and Diego Ribas.
How old is Felipe now, like 36 or something?
Yeah, he's getting close to 40.
Yeah, he's old.
Yeah.
Well, you're right. He might be pretty close to 40.
Yeah, he's 37, 38, maybe. I'll look it up.
I didn't watch the Copa Libertadores, so I don't know how much he had in that victory. How much stake, how much...
I think he's been playing fairly regularly still for Flamengo. Yeah, man, he's 37.
Oh, yeah, he's old.
He's made well over 100 appearances for Flamengo.
Okay.
Damn,
look at him.
You know, and Luis Suarez winning the, the Clausura for Nacional.
You love to see it.
Yeah. Yeah, just those guys keep winning. You know, speaking of Suarez, in retrospect, would you have brought him back for this season?
No.
I mean, hindsight's 20/20, but...
Yeah, no. I think we already have so many attacking players that Suarez would have been just another body fighting for minutes. I'm in the belief that there needs to be more regularity, that there needs to be a little bit more set roles, that there needs to be a little bit of more trust in, look, you might not be playing well, but look, you're our guy. Like, you got to step up, right? Like, you got to drop that responsibility on someone. And if you just keep plugging in and plugging in people whenever you want, that does affect performances. So Suarez would have been just another body fighting for minutes with the project of what? Because he's not going to give you 3-4 more years.
Yeah.
So I think if they would have gotten rid of some other players and you just want Suarez kind of like as a super sub just for another season or two, okay, fine. But not with the current squad. No, he had to go.
And Suarez said he would have accepted that role, and he wished that he would have been offered that role because he liked being at Atletico. He liked working under Simeone. We already had five forwards. No way out for Morata. Who, and I think Morata's probably been maybe a little better than expected, but he's such a weird player, and he's not a guy who can lead the line.
No.
Like, that's not who Morata is.
Morata's is good. That's like the best way to describe him. Like, he's all right.
He's a weird player. Good, but weird.
Yeah.
Right? Like, I think...
Yeah, I think you need more than that.
You need more than him at the
top
level.
You need more.
Morata's a good second or third tier forward
exactly.
At the top. Like, no one's going to confuse him with Erling Haaland. You know?
Yeah,
no
exactly.
One's going to confuse him with any of the other top.
He's not
Lewandowski.
No, he's not a huge difference maker. And he can get the job done sometimes, and, you know, he can look good sometimes, but you need somebody that has... that stands out more. You need somebody just a level above him.
He'll end up scoring 15 goals this year in all comps. If we are in the Europa League, that'll be a good opportunity for him to get some goals, most potentially, although the field's really strong this year. Not to denigrate the competition, but Europa League, at least theoretically, seems it's more in this Atletico squad's ballpark. And we'll see if they can qualify against Porto. Porto are already in. Although if Porto beat Atletico on Tuesday, they can top the group.
Mm.
So they will be motivated. They're at home. And if Atletico draw or lose, that opens the possibility for Leverkusen against Club Brugge to get into Europa League in Atleti's place. And that would be a weird second half of the season without any European football. You know,
that would be a lot of players asking for minutes.
Or asking to leave.
Yeah.
I mean... Yeah, what about you, man? Who are the players that you would stick with for a new core? And then we'll wrap it up.
I think Savic, 100%. I'm a big Savic guy. I think he's the enforcer of the team. He embodies the Atletico Madrid spirit very well. Plus, defensively, he's just amazing. I really do like Savic. He's very, very reliable. So definitely keep him. Griezmann, I think he's been a game changer whenever... We are now allowed to play him more than, you know, past the 60-minute mark. He's a guy that's been able to find how to play offensively while also satisfying Simeone's, requests and needs for the team.
Yep.
Something that Joao Felix hasn't been able to figure out. So that to me is important because not many players can do that. We've seen it over the past years after years. You know, Atletico brings these players and they just simply cannot, be themselves while also you know, living up to Simeone's standards and needs for the squad and playing style. And I feel like Griezmann is one of the best to ever do it as far as that. And he brings a lot of creativity to the team. He's a game changer. He can play several positions as well. So definitely keep him. I love Correa. Correa, in my opinion, should start more than he does. He needs more time. I like Cunha. I know that he needs to be a little bit more prolific. But he's young, man. He's just as old as Joao Felix, right?
Yeah, that's the gray area with Cunha, is that he's still young.
He's so young.
Like, you're tempted not to want to give up on him, but he's got to score goals. His decision-making has got to resemble that of a killer.
I agree, yeah. And apart from those, I would say... I would add Kondoya to the list. I do think he's a reliable player. I think you got to pick some of the most reliable, the ones that can give you consistent performances. And I know, as you mentioned, he is limited, yes. But, man, he's a solid wall in the back. He's still fairly young, what, like 28?
29, yeah.
29, yeah. So he's still got a few good years left. Yeah,
still got at least a couple more years. His contract's up in 2024. Maybe you extend it. But, yeah, to me, he seems like a prime candidate for a sale next year.
Yeah.
That's what he seems like to me. But yeah, I see what you're saying. Kondogbia defensively is very reliable. He's so athletic and strong. He can win the ball any way you want it. Just, I wish he were a better passer. If he were a better passer, he'd be like one of the best fives in Europe.
No, yeah, most certainly. But I think you can get, if you pair him with somebody a little bit more creative, maybe you can substitute that. That's why Witzel with his passing has been nice.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I think this team needs a big overhaul.
Yeah, so you'd keep five or six players too.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's just kind of where we're at. And, you know, a lot of decisions, good and bad, brought us to this point. You know, maybe you could argue Simeone should have left after they won the league, that it doesn't get any better than that. You know, you win the league in 2014, you rebuild the team a couple of times over, you wait, and then you have another opportunity to win the league and you do it. You know, after recruiting Luis Suarez as the crown jewel of that particular project. Now it's time to do it again. Will Simeone have the patience? Will the club let him build the first team the way he wants it? Or will they just continue to play it out and hope against hope that luck will turn and other teams will falter? And it doesn't seem to me like a smarter, sustainable strategy. But we're going to see. The great thing about Atletico, Danny, is that there's never a dull moment.
As the ambulance passes by, yeah, never a dull moment, man. Never a dull moment. This team is, you know, you suffer in this team. That's, I think we're all used to that by suffering. Now.
How many years would you say you estimate you have lost off your life watching Atletico?
Probably half a decade so far. I feel like the amount of stress that I've dealt with unnecessarily has probably taken me about 5 years off my life. But look, it's also given me added me a few extra months with some of the joyous moments we've had. So,
blood pressure's a little bit higher when you root for this club.
Oh, yeah. Most definitely.
When you support this
team. A little bit of stress is good in your life, right?
Yeah, it is. You know, you don't want just a placid, boring, you know, day by day, same thing, nothing changes. Yeah. No, with Atletico, you can guarantee there's going to be some suffering. But, you know, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, we're going to talk all about it on the next Coach Nero chat. But we're going to leave it here for now. Danny, plug away. What should our readers and listeners be looking for from you?
Well, definitely keep it locked here on Into the Calderon and Jeremy Barron. I mean, just fantastic content. You guys are lucky to have someone like him. And also, if you want to follow me on social media, you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at Danny Segura TV. That's Danny Segura, Segura TV. I mostly tweet about combat sports, boxing, MMA, but also a little bit of Atletico Madrid. And if you want... content in Spanish, MMA content in Spanish, head over to Hablemos MMA on YouTube channel and all the social media platforms as well.
Perfect. Thank you all so much for listening to today's edition of Coach Nero Chat. As mentioned just a moment ago, we will be back after the Porto game to review that and, you know, see what happened. You can follow us on Twitter, Into the Calderon. I'm at JB Barron. That's JBBEREN. On Twitter at Into the Calderon.
our website and our Patreon page, patreon.com/coltsneurochat. Also listen to our sister show, the Partido a Partido podcast with Taha and Emmanuel. They are great. We love having them around as part of the Atletico de Madrid podcast network. And thank you all again so much for your support on Patreon, whether you're a subscriber or not. Thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon. Adios.